Parental discretion advised. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Geo's Passion, where some of the names have been changed to protect the innocent and not so innocent. Enjoy the ride.
What's up, GPP, Geo's Passion Posse? My name is Jack. I'm your host, and we're recording this special episode from a place far, far away in Charleston, South Carolina. So I took a vacation recently with the love of my life, and somebody popped up, and I was like, what the hell are you doing here? And she was like, well, you know, I had to get away because it's summertime, hot girl summer. So I was like, all right. So as those of you who follow the program, follow the short episode I had with JC at Taco Bar, or Bar Taco in Hyde Park, today's interview is somebody that you know. She is the devil's advocate, and she's done over an hour interview on a New Year's special with somebody named Mac Moll. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to B. Kazowina. What's up, B?
What's up?
Woo! Yeah, I'm GPP. Back. She's back. So let me tell you guys and gals what's going on here today. So as I told you, I've been working on interviews, and I had the JC one. I had the Mac Moll. I had the one I'm working with, KFed, and now I got B here, so it's good to go. So tell me a little bit about yourself, what you've been doing lately, and what's going on with life.
Next subject.
Oh, damn. So in other words, what that means is that, she's got so much money now that she's flying on private jets and you guys are untouchable, okay? Seriously. Oh, Jesus, what are we going to do with you?
As you start adulting more and more, there's just, you know, everyday challenges that you work through. One being career choices. I'm wondering why I made the career choice that I did, but... hey, something has to pay the bills, right?
Well, we know. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, you know what I say to career choices? I said, career choices, okay? So, but I'm glad you mentioned career choices because there's a lot of things I watch on YouTube. And I don't have TikTok, but I'm sure some of you out there have TikTok. And we always see the boss babe, the hashtag boss babe and working. And these women, you know, single with cats and lions and tigers and bears, oh my, but they don't have a life with a family and with kids. Yet B does. B is a career woman. She still cooks and cleans at home. She has a family. She has kids. She has a man. It's like you sit back and you go, shit, if she can do it, any other woman can do it. What would you say is your motivating factor to be that strong boss babe, if you want to call it that, and yet still be a housewife or a mother or a loving figure that a lot of the women nowadays, they can't understand the concept?
Well, let me start by saying it's not easy. It's very hard. And before I had kids and settled down, I was a workaholic. So when I decided to slow down, you know, settle, have kids, it was a big adjustment. Learning how to shut off that workaholic side of me and then knowing, okay, I need to stop working because now I actually have my second job, which is being a mom, taking care of the household. So for me, it's just having my personal goals of what things are important to me. Like career is definitely important to me, but so is being a good mom. So I don't know. I do the best that I can in juggling both. And some days are better than others and some days are harder than others.
So I personally know that unlike some of the other single boss babes out there on the street, you're in high stature in the corporate world and you make a nice bank. And there's some women out there who are teachers who are like, oh my God, I'm a boss babe. I got a Louis Vuitton bag out of... offer up and stuff like that. So, you know, but for the life of them, they think their career is so on point and so big that they don't have time to take out of their day to enjoy, you know, building a family, having a relationship and stuff like that. You know, their whole big thing is, oh, I'm going to go to a club. I'm going to be like, you know, and that's all they think about. Now, I know you for a long time, and I know you've been able to balance work, life and family. How do you do that? And explain to the women out there who are quote unquote boss babes, which we know they're not. They're just cat hoarders because at the end of the day, that's all they're going to have after they hit the wall. Explain to them that there is enough time in the day for them to do all of the above.
There is enough time. Well, I guess I could be a little biased in saying that because although I have the profession that I do, it still allows me to have a work-life balance. So I would say that there are probably some other professions that may not allow that downtime.
OnlyFans.
Well, you know, like if you're a doctor and you're on call or I don't know what other profession would involve more hours than the regular, you know, 8 to 5. But I don't know. That's a hard question. I mean, sometimes I don't know how I do it. I just tackle each day, day by day. I mean, there's days where sometimes I'm working till, you know, I'm working, I'm getting off, you know, maybe 6 o'clock, trying to fix dinner, get dinner together. And then I'm going right back into my office and working for another hour or two. And then, you know, putting the boys to bed and then calling it a night. So it's just balancing what you have with what you have. I can also say that I have a good partner that gives me a little bit more flexibility.
Okay. Yeah.
To be able to do that. If I were with someone who wasn't as hands-on with the kids, I don't know that I would be as good as at managing my time with work and taking care of the household.
I'm thinking that a lot of these quote-unquote boss babes nowadays, all they're focusing on is themselves. And even if they're given the opportunity to do what they got to do, you know, they're standing there in the corner and they're all pretty and being like, oh, my God. Yeah, you know, so it's like, really? Do you want to be bothered with that? So
well, I think there's a shift now where I feel like, you know, women have always been conditioned, right, to be like housemakers, right, and you're supposed to stay home or raise the kids. But I think now we're just at a different age where you don't have to have kids or get married if that's not what you want.
Kids, yeah. Kids, I don't even know. Kids.
I mean, when you think about it, right?
Right,
and this is just my personal opinion, when a guy tells you I don't want kids and I don't want to get married, I don't think that that gets the same reaction as a woman who says those things.
Right.
I feel like women, when they say, oh, I don't have a desire to get married, I don't want to have kids, now you're looking at her and you're wondering what is wrong with her, because every woman wants kids. Or
they're like, yeah, what's wrong with you? Cuckoo, cuckoo, so cuckoo.
I think that we're just at a time where women don't want to have kids or don't want to have marriage, and that they're okay with just leading their lives as they wish without having the responsibility of someone else.
Yeah, that could be a good thing. So I have kids, as you know, the GPP knows. I have two boys, and they're carrying on the name, and mm-hmm. I want to make sure that, you know, when they have kids and I have grandkids, I get at least one boy because I want to carry on the name. You know, it's a big thing. JC screwed up, but that's okay. I forgive him, you know. Shout out to you, JC.
Well, see, that's not something I have to worry about because they don't carry my name anyway.
There you go. So, you know, I'm going to have to carry the name for the whole family. Golly, what the? So, no, but that is true. I do see a lot of times, you know, the women are out there. They're like, oh, I want, you know, the 6'2" guy who's making $1 million a year. And that's, you know, like many of you know, K-Fed. And K-Fed makes a bank. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? He's single, makes a bank. He's like, I forgot how old he is. But, you know, he's making New York money in Florida. And when he goes on the dates, the girls are like, you know, some of them will spend time with him, go out with him for a couple of months. But then other than that, they're like, you know, and I'm like, what the hell are you looking for? Because what happens is at the end of the day, when, you know, there's going to be a time where K-Fed is going to elevate even higher than where he is. And now he's going to start dating younger. So he'll start dating the 25-year-olds, you know, the 27-year-olds. And then those women who are his age are going to be like, well, hey, how come you're not dating me? How come you want to be with me? And K-Fed's going to be like, because I gave you the chance. You understand? I gave you the chance to go out with me. And you were like, I don't want to be bothered with you. I want, you know, 6'2", $1 million making Tyrone or Chad, like they say on YouTube. And it's just not there. So I think a lot of times, you know, the women who really go out there and try to portray themselves as something that they're not is hurting the rest of the women who really want to find true love.
I agree. I think there's also maybe a misconception that maybe men care as much as women do about those things. Like, so for example, typically it's very important that a man could be a provider or at least an equal, right? So you hopefully are making just as much as not, if not more money, and you look a certain way, and you know, you have a status, right? I think that because as women, we have those expectations that we think that men have those expectations of women too, which isn't always necessarily the case. You know, I don't think that a man will harp as much on some of those things like women do. I don't necessarily think that it would be a deal breaker for a guy if he met a beautiful girl who had all to offer, but maybe didn't make as much money. You know, I don't think he's thinking, oh, that's it. You're out the door. You're not making as much money as I am, or
you
more.
Suck ass. You know?
And so I think that's a defense mechanism too. I mean, not to mention, the world is overpopulated with more women than men.
Right.
That means men have more options. So what am
especially
I going to do?
Especially after COVID.
So. Yeah.
Sorry.
But what am I going
to
do?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey.
But what can I say?
Right.
What am I going to do that's going to set me apart from the other five girls that are right behind me?
Right.
You know? And I think that's where that comes from. You want to portray yourself as XYZ because you're trying to put your best foot forward and make yourself, you know, the best option compared to everyone else.
Right. Now, I do see there is competition out there, but sometimes the competition is very negative. So, like, you'll walk into a place, you'll hold the door, and they're like, don't hold the door for me. Well, damn, bitch. Next time I won't hold the door for you. I'll let that shit slam in your face, you know? But then you let it slam in the face, and you go, oh, my God, you're not a real man. I mean, like, men can't win to lose. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what the hell? I mean, you know, I know how to cook. I know how to clean. So, you know, and if I had to, I got to take care of myself. So what do I need a woman for? You know what I'm saying? My biological sperm and stuff like that can't make babies. You know, I don't need you. I can go to Juanita when, you know, when Latifah is not available. It's like, hello.
Right.
You know, so it's like, yeah. Sometimes you're portraying yourself and you're putting yourself in the pedestal that you really don't need to be on.
Yeah. And I think that there's also the shift in gender roles, right? So.
Yes.
You have women that they've had to kind of take on a more masculine energy because, let's say, they are the ones taking care of everything on their own. They do have a good job. Maybe they're not as attractive as they think they are, right? But in their mind, they have a lot to offer over the next person.
True.
Whereas it seems like, no offense, but just from what I've seen, it feels like guys are becoming a lot more fat.
What'd you say?
They're becoming a little bit more.
Go ahead, say it.
Don't mess with me. But guys are becoming a little more feminine, too.
Right.
And I think that that's where that comes from, where girls have to protect themselves. And it's like that mentality, like, if you're not going to be the guy, I'm going to do it for both of us, or, well, for myself. Really,
right. But. Like TikTok says, oh, my God, be in touch with your feelings. But then you touch with your feelings, you talk to these girls, and the girl's like, I don't want a pussy guy. I want a guy who's, you know, who's an asshole, who's going to treat me like shit because, you know, he's the one who I'll miss forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, so he's like, what?
Yeah,
what is
going on? I feel like that's a never-ending battle.
Yeah.
You know, because then you just have people who have just bad habits, you know?
Like Ed Sheeran said, bad habits. Shout out Ed Sheeran. I want to check. So shifting gears a little bit here now, as I stated, you know, you're in a career role, you're in corporate, you're doing outstanding things with a family. Now I have noticed that your friends have been lacking a little bit. So how is it that, you know, how is it that being a mother and being a strong, you know, hardworking woman has kind of caused the friends to take a back seat?
Well, I think that comes from just some of the interests being different, right? I have kids now. I can't be out and about, you know, every weekend like I used to. I also live farther away. It's not as convenient, you know, maybe for me to just come out for a cup of coffee when I have to drive 45 minutes to an hour.
And it costs like $500 to Uber.
Exactly. And I think also, too, I mean, it, as unfortunate as it is, when you start getting older, you and your friends are just at different places in your lives that kind of just sometimes take you in a different direction. Sometimes it's personal and intentional, and other times it's not. So I think for me, that's just what it's been. We're just all at different places in our lives. And just right now, you know, the things aren't aligning
right,
they used to. But, you know, every now and then I still get together with them. It's just not at the same frequency that it used to be when I didn't have the same responsibilities.
So I'll give you an example of me. So, like, I've still got friends in New York. I have family in New York. I have friends here in Tampa. And, like, you know, as growing up, I've learned more about money. And money's big. And money's not just cash at hand. Money is the credit cards, the mortgage, the this and this and that. And like recently I told my son, I go, look, you know, if you have this type of credit card, you get these special privileges. You know, you can go to a lounge because like I've said on here on GPP that, you know, I have the American Airlines card with the Admiral Club Lounge. And yeah, it costs $450 a year.
I did the same one with Chase, but you know what? I still haven't.
You haven't gone in there? Oh,
jeez.
Because I was going to work on that next. Yeah. No, but I went to the lounge and then I went to I'm in Charleston, South Carolina. I go to a hotel. I'm gold status automatically because of the credit card I have. And it's great privileges and stuff like
great,
that.
I bet you feel great, don't you?
What happened?
I said, I bet you feel great, don't
I
you?
I didn't know what you're talking about when they say, hello, Mr. GPP. And I'm like, hello, Governor, how are you? I thought I was old Charleston, South Carolina money. I thought the Ravenel Bridge was named after me for a minute there. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, so that status. And I think that a lot of times, especially coming from New York, coming from the Bronx, you have the haves and the have-nots. But there's that group in the middle that, like, you know, to me, I grew up in a middle-class family. And, yeah, my dad worked for the city and he busted his butt and stuff like that. But I didn't know about entrepreneurship. My uncle was the first entrepreneur, you know. He was in South Florida, you know, renting homes and stuff like that. When I got to become an entrepreneur, it started 6 or 7 years ago. And I'm already on the older side. So I tell my boys, hey, this and this and this and that. Imagine how life would have been different if we were raised in a way that it was, you know, not so much, you know, blue collar, but it was, right. Hey, you should do this, you should do that. Take advantage of this. So I know a lot of people hate Trump, okay? Yeah, I know. I like
people turning off.
Yeah, people are like, beep. Right. Yeah. Next. But the way he said what he said that one time was that I follow the tax laws. Mm-hmm. So if you want a different result from me, change the laws.
Yeah.
So it's the same way. If I got my credit up at a certain level where I can acquire, you know, the Amex Surpass card, or I can get the Centurion card, and I got these special privileges, while I'm sitting at a lounge and you're sweating your ass off at Terminal 3 with kids crying next to you, vomiting on you, you understand? If I can learn that and I can do that, why can't you? So a lot of times you sit back and you go, well, hey, I grew up, I did what I had to do, I got a career now, I got a family now, now I'm going to enjoy the rest of it. There's people out there who are still going to hate on you. And whether male or female, mostly female nowadays, you know, because I've seen the reports where it says that if you have a woman who's a leader in a position in a company or in an organization, they're going to treat the subordinate women worse because of the fact that they don't want to treat them the same because they don't want them to elevate to where they're at. So it's like, oh, shit, you know, what's going on with that? We're supposed to be equal, you know, feminism and all this other stuff. So it's like, you know, so I sit back and I learned a lot of things and things like that. So every time I go somewhere now, I take advantage. The problem I see is that, yeah, you work a great job, you make a lot of money, but people don't know there are loopholes in a lot of things in life when it comes to money that will actually help them. And then now you got this student loan thing that people are like, oh, the government's going to have you pay your student loan back. Did you think it was free? You know, you're spending $100,000 on a degree in basket weaving. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, it's society's fault because, you know, you can't get a job where, you know, like me, if I were to get a corporate job that made any sense, I would need a bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. I have an associate's. All right. But an associate's good enough for what I wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? I didn't need it for real estate, but I needed it for other jobs. So it got me to a level that I wanted. And what people don't understand is that, you know, if you want to make money, there's two roads. Either go to school and get an education with a career path that is like legit instead of basket weaving, or you're going to become an entrepreneur. You understand? So a lot of people hate on others who are making money because of that. So sometimes I sit back and I look, I go, yeah, you're a mom, you're earning money, you're doing what you got to do. And do you think sometimes maybe there's some jealousy there from people in either your job, your family, or your friends that they say, well, you know, I remember when she was, you know, cutting coupons from the magazine, but now, you know, she's driving around in a Porsche Macan or some shit like that.
Maybe I'm naive, but I like to think that the people that I have around me and that I've chosen to keep around me hold me to a high regard and wouldn't be jealous, if anything, would be proud. Career-wise, I will say that that was a fear of mine before having children, because, like I said, I was a workaholic. And the people that I reported to, my manager, my VP, were men. So I was always afraid that the viewpoint would change. You know, I can't work now as much as I used to because now I have kids. So I almost felt like becoming a mom was going to be a weakness in my professional life. And I thought that, you know, it was going to change their view of me and how hardworking I was. And I remember someone saying that, oh, before I had kids, when I used to hear people saying that, you know, they were calling out because they didn't get sleep all night because their child had a toothache and was up crying all night, I used to be like, really, get over it. But now that I have a child, I understand. And that's exactly what I was afraid of.
Right, so right.
That was validation to say, yeah, okay. I knew you would think that all along. But now that you have, you know, your child, now you understand. So right. That was definitely something I was fearful of. But, you know, you can't just not do things, I guess, out of fear. Right. You know, you got to push through. And I just think that some people are not afforded the same opportunities, whether that be because they just don't know any better or they don't have the opportunity to network and expand outside of their bubble. So it's kind of like that concept, you know, of rich dad, poor dad.
Right.
Robert Kiyosaki, he explains, you know, my poor dad had one way of living, and if it wasn't for my rich dad, I wouldn't have known
the other way of living. Exactly.
And then if you go through life like that and then you don't meet people outside of that circle that have similar mindsets and you personally don't have an interest or think to educate yourself on what's out there, you're just gonna stay where you are and maybe not, you know, draw outside the lines. You right. might be scared to, you know. You might think, oh, I'm just this person from here. I don't really have anything going with myself. These are dreams and aspirations that I have. But who am I? Who right. am I to think that I could achieve those things from coming from where I am and with, you know, with the resources I have right now? So I think it's a combination of things.
So now Goggins, and I talked to JC about this. David Goggins is a beast. But in his second book, he wrote about how there's two people within you, and you have David, who's the, you know, the hardworking guy, but he's not the beast, the animal. Mm-hmm. Then he has Goggins, who once he flips into Goggins switch, he becomes a beast, and he's running those 100-mile marathons and stuff like that. And I can see where that, you know, where that lies, because there's sometimes, and like I said in the last podcast episode, I'm sitting with JC and I'm getting tired. I'm working, I'm busting my ass, you know, and I'm not doing real estate to the extent that I was doing it before. Now I'm doing something else. It's still sales. You're still making a base pay and commission, and you're making money and you're doing good. But the hours suck and the days off suck, and you don't spend time with friends. You don't spend time with family. When your mom's like, yo, where you been? You know there's an issue there. But you have this goal. So you sit back and you go, am I going to be David or am I going to be Goggins? You know what I'm saying? So lately I've been Goggins. But shit, it's been hard as hell. And I've been thinking about, hey, it's time for me to bump off and do something, you know, revert or take a pivot and go somewhere else, because of the fact is that I know how to handle this. I have, you know, this license, or I have this ability and stuff like that. Has that ever come across your mind, you know, whether now, in the past, or is something that you're thinking about in the future?
Yeah, all the time. And I feel like sometimes, you know, we all have these things that we want to do, right? Or that we say eventually we will do, but we hold off on them for whatever reason. And sometimes I think that we reach points in our lives where things aren't working out and we're getting frustrated. It's almost like we're being pushed in the corner to be so uncomfortable that we're forced to make the change that we should have made. And I feel like personally, I'm just getting to that point. You know, I've been fortunate enough to have build a career that I have now, and with a good company, but it's not giving me the fulfillment that I want. And so I feel like I'm getting to a point where, you know, I'm getting a little bit frustrated, not necessarily happy with where I am. So, you know, I have to look inwards and figure out what changes I'm going to make.
Now, I know you have the kids and stuff like that, but have you ever gotten to the point where you said, hey, you know what, if a job in, you know, back in New York calls you and it's good enough money that you can afford a house there, afford to put the kids in private school and stuff like that, or, you know, Texas, even Texas. I, like last year, GPP knows, I went to Dallas. It was nice, you know what I'm saying? And New York, and Florida and Texas are always in competition.
Right.
And we know Elon Musk is in Austin, and, you know, and there's so many companies, like there's a manufacturer that's going to Texas also, because of the fact is that they're trying to bring chip manufacturing back to the United States. If something like that happened, like say Liberty Mutual, who's in Plano, Texas, goes, hey, B, I want you to come work for us because what you've done in ABC company is outstanding, and I want you to run this section. Would you like get up and go, or would you have the reservations of, well, you know, the I don't have a support or the kids or blah, blah, blah. Where's your mind frame right now if it came to a situation like that?
I'm definitely going to explore it. It's not an automatic no, but it needs to make sense, right? So obviously, if it's a great opportunity, you don't want to just automatically say, no, I can't do it because I don't want to move. I have kids. I mean, that might be the reality, right? But you need to explore all options. So depending on the location, you know, some places might be an automatic no. I mean, if you're asking me to go to like Wyoming.
Hey, Wyoming's pretty good. That's where they have the LLCs to hide money. So, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know. But
I don't know. I think so. Hey.
But no, I've been considering, well, I won't say I've been considering Texas, but I've seen a lot of stuff about Texas. So I actually would like to visit to see, you know, if maybe that's a place of interest. But I think I would be open to it, but right. I wouldn't be able to say yes or no until I outweigh, you know, the good and the bad.
I'm being in Charleston. One of the things is I'm old school. So I was raised conservative. Mm-hmm. I was raised very proper. I went to private school.
Really?
As you did. damn, bro. My bad. You know what? Okay, right? No,
see,
but
I get it out of you.
I learned how to be very, you know, very proper.
Yes.
So one thing in being in Charleston, I learned that you have two worlds here, and it's still Southern charm, just like the show on Bravo. You know, shout out to Southern Charm on Bravo. But yeah, there is a certain aura of respect and of class here, whether it's real or if it's fake, but it still exists. And I was very comfortable, you know, being in Charleston, South Carolina, because, yeah, that's me. I'm not a big yelling guy, even though you hear me say, let's go, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, but and walking the streets and not, you know, selling my ass, but walking the street, I wasn't looking for a new profession, but, you know, walking streets, going to the events, going to different restaurants and places and stuff like that, it felt really good. It was almost like New York when Giuliani was the mayor, where you can actually walk on the streets and not be bothered with anything else out there. I had to take it back there. You know what's up. So shout out Rudy. So, you know, but,
well, I think that that's one of the benefits of traveling that unfortunately a lot of people don't get to do, but I think that traveling alone really opens your eyes and helps, you know, people realize that there's just a different life outside of your everyday. You know, you have different cultures, different cuisines. You know, it's very eye-opening. I think traveling has really helped me personally kind of expand out of my bubble. I mean, I grew up in the Bronx, the projects, moved here thinking I was going to end up in some Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah, there we go.
And it was not that. So, you know, traveling really kind of opened up my eyes to see, okay, you know, what can I take from this experience? What can I incorporate in my life? I want to be able to do this more often. Okay, so that means I have to be able to support myself and support myself enough to where, okay, I can travel a little bit more often. And I like to eat, you know, fine dining. Okay, so then I need to do something that's going to allow me to do that. Obviously, you know, with in moderation, but
yeah, of course, you know, I mean,
but traveling,
if not, you end up looking like me,
you know, you get my belly.
But that allows you to experience new things and talk to people, you know, from different walks of life, and kind of get that experience that you might not if you just simply go to work every day and do not go out and socialize with people.
So as some of you know, I parlez-vous français now. Je suis Jacques. I've been learning because, you know, on my bucket list is I do want to go to Nice because Monaco is 20 minutes away. I want to put that $100 on at the Casino Royale and say I'm Bond, Jack Bond. Dun, 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 you know what I'm saying? So that's on my list.
You needed
so,
the music there.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, sorry. That's the wrong one. But anyway, but yeah, you're right. You got to make a certain amount of money so that you can go out, you can enjoy, you can adventure and stuff like that, because it does broaden your horizons. And by, you know, broadening your horizons, you realize there's a different world out there. Because growing up, yeah, my parents took me to Aruba. You know, they took me to Amish country in Pennsylvania. So I learned about the Amish. I learned that there's other people in the Caribbean, you know, besides, you know, the background that I have. And it's like, oh, okay, wait a minute. So now, you know, like next year, and I know I've been wanting to say this, but next year, I had to push it back, of course. But next year, I'm probably finally going to go to London.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
Yeah, I definitely want to go there.
That's
and
on my bucket list, too.
I learned that there, I guess the movie Harry Potter mm-hmm. was filmed. And they have the museum there with all, there's like a walking tour and stuff like that okay. in London. So I was like, I want to go do that. You know, hocus pocus, kanamka pocus, you know, whatever the hell he says. Yeah. So, you know, I want to do that. And then, of course, I want to go to Nice. But I want to do a river cruise, too. So these Viking cruises, and none of this is sponsored, but if you want to send me a paycheck, I'll send you my Venmo and my Cash App, you know. But Viking Cruises has this cruise that you go on the river. Okay. It's a riverboat. And your ports are near the tourist sites and stuff like that. So you get off right there, and the excursion is included in your price. You eat there on the boat, you sleep and stuff like that. Yeah, so it's really nice. So I want to do that, something like that, you know, through Greece, through Italy and Spain, you know, something
that
like that.
That would be amazing.
That, yeah, so, but a lot of, the thing that I see is that, you know, growing up, a lot of kids don't see this. They don't have the opportunity to say, hey, you know what? Maybe when I get older, when I get a good job, you know, I'm going to make money. And instead of buying a $90,000, you know, Cayenne, I'm going to go to, you know, take a cruise around the world.
Well, you still have that, right? You have, you know, for lack of a better word, people keeping up with the Joneses, right?
Exactly.
And so material things become the priority instead of experiences. And I'm guilty of having had that mentality because, like you said, growing up in New York, material things were very important. You're not going to go to school with, you know, at least for growing up for me, if you went to school with, like, Payless shoes, you're getting made fun of. You need to have the newest Jordans or whatever.
I had Tom McCann's.
You know, or whatever is out at that time.
Busta Brown, shout out.
So, you know, at one point I did have that mentality, but now I just have learned to cherish, I guess, experiences over material things.
Cherish
that matters.
The love we have. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So that matters more to me now, especially having kids, because something that you said is I want to be able to provide that for my kids, having those vacations or the opportunity to travel when they're young, if I can. You know, sometimes it's not always feasible, but if I can do that, that's something I want to be able to do.
Now, speaking of your girls, and I'm not talking about your kids because your kids are boys, but I'm talking about your girlfriends, your homegirls and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen many trips on social media. So what are we doing?
When taking a hiatus.
when am I going out on this girl's trip? I mean, like, really?
Oh, you know? Okay, I'll remember to send you the invite.
Thank you. Seriously, because, you know, I mean, I'm one of the girls. Holla. Last girl's trip that I went on, ooh, we don't even want to talk about that.
Do you even remember it?
Yeah, it was in Orlando. There was a dance floor, and everybody was around me, and it was like Jersey Shore. Yeah, she'll be will tell you that story one day. So
yeah, somehow.
Oh, and it was her birthday.
Yeah, somehow my birthday celebration always turns into a celebration for something or someone else, but it's all good.
It's called Long Island Iced Tea. That's what it's called. Yes, so. But other than that, what do you got planning coming up here now that we're we'll be hitting July here And
man, time is freaking
five
blind.
More months, and it's insane. Can't believe it. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
I don't know. I need to plan a vacation. I'm having the itch, so that's what I'm.
You know, they got medicine for that now, right? Seriously.
Let me clarify.
Oh, okay. Just want to make sure. You not know, that, I mean, like
not that kind of itch.
And who do I got to talk to about? Woo!
But yeah, I need to go somewhere. You know, when you just like have that feeling, I need to get out and I need to decompress and I need to just go somewhere. But you know, I don't know if this happens to you, but when I think of going somewhere on vacation, I automatically gravitate towards going somewhere tropical. And I don't know why that is, because we live in
exactly.
a tropical state.
I hate that. That's why I went to Charleston, because I don't want to go to the Bahamas or somewhere tropical, because I live in Florida. It's like a right. waste of money to me.
Yeah, but it's not first instinct for me to think of like, oh, let me go to Niagara Falls in the cold weather. Ooh, you no. know?
You can keep that. Thank you.
But my ideal vacation is always, I just imagine myself on a beach somewhere with crystal clear blue water and some type of
like the Maldives.
Cocktail.
Yeah, my yes. sister and her husband, they went to the Maldives. And yeah. Before they got married, they went out a lot of trips and stuff like that. And it was great, because then when finally they had my nephew, you know, they had travel. Mm-hmm. And now he's old enough where recently they took a trip also. But but yeah, to go out to a place that's not Florida, that is, you know, has the crystal water and stuff like right. that is romantic. Oh, you know, or it is to like St. Martin. I was talking to a couple of people mm-hmm. the other day. St. Martin has that spot where the airplanes land and everybody gets blown over by the jet wash.
Oh, really?
You haven't seen it? Oh, you got to YouTube that. Yeah. So there's a beach on St. Martin right before the airport, and the airplane comes over and the jet wash pushes people back against the fence
oh,
and stuff
wow.
like that. It's sick, because the runway is so small. But like that's an experience. Even though that's, you know, it's an island and it's all sunny, mm-hmm. but you're there because you're doing something else. Or if you go to Hawaii is one of the places I want to go in the States also, because they have the, you know, I'm a big history buff. So they have the Pearl Harbor mm-hmm. Memorial, and the oil still dripping out from there and stuff like that. So, you know, and then also to see the, you know, the Hawaiian culture and, you know, the dances and the this
yeah,
and the that.
Luau.
So the luau, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I got to be careful, because sometimes, you know, they can get me and go, excuse me, sir, come over here. I got a nice little sauna here for you. We're going to just rotate you. Don't worry about
it.
Yeah.
For you.
Don't worry about the apple in your mouth. It's okay. You know what? So true. So, but yes, I want to do those things. But like, you know, KFed and I, we're talking about going to Nashville again in October, because
I would like to go there. I have never been.
Never been to Nashville.
Never been.
It was fun. I went with my youngest, and I went with my love, and I tell you, it's an experience, but it's a lot about drinking.
Well, okay, then it's even more reason for me to go.
Get her done. That's right. I'll give you the info later yeah. on the flights that we're taking and all that. So, but yeah, it was fun. So, you know, we're going to go back, because I was there for 3 nights and 4 days. And I don't know if you got to see the reels that I posted when it was snowing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was snowing in Nashville on Christmas week.
Oh, wait, I do, because you yeah. sent a video. I'm like, it's not crystal clear.
That's it, yeah.
It was because
it was snowing.
Too, yeah.
yeah, yeah. So what ends up happening is I want to go back, because I didn't get to go. You know, you're there 3 days, 4 nights. I mean, 4 days, 3 nights. Mm-hmm. But even during Christmas time, you don't get an opportunity to see everything. So I didn't go to the Jack Daniels.
The distillery,
yeah. And I was like, wow, you know. I went to the Grand Ole Opry. I went to the Country Music Hall of Fame. I had I tried moonshine for the first time, and let me tell you, those 4 communion cups of moonshine lay you flat. And I'm a big guy, lay you flat. So it was fun, because my son went with his fraternity, you know, shout out Kappa Sig, FSU, whoop whoop. So, you know, he's like, hey, dad, check this out. I was like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm a dad. Yeah, let me try that out. Let me tell you, those little communion cups. And you know how small communion cups are.
Yeah.
And you know,
they're strong.
Strong.
Uh-huh.
First one was like, bam. Yeah. I was walking back, and that's when the snow started. And I was like, I can tell you the world. I was like, I was on heaven, you know. I believe I can fly. So, you know.
And you said you had 4 of those?
4 of those.
Oh, yeah. You're feeling mighty good.
Mighty good is not the word. You could have hit me with a truck. I thought I was the Hulk, you know. I was like flying up in the air and whatnot. But, no, that was good. I've enjoyed Charleston. Again, because of that Southern charm feeling and stuff like that, again, because of having the credit card that has the advantages, you know, it's a different stature. And going into a place where you have status, you know, whether it's 100% real or it's elevated by something else, it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. So, you know, that's something that I want GPP to look at and focus on, bettering their life so that when they travel or when they do something else, they're not just, Mr. Smith, they're, oh, Mr. Smith. You know, there's a big difference in being, oh, Mr. Smith, yeah, come over here. Or, Mr. Smith, may you come this way, please, because we are here. This is your concierge. This is your private, you know, it's a big difference. I don't make $1 million a year. But I came to Charleston, I felt like I was making at least $250,000 a year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I go, every time I go to the American Airlines lounge, I feel like I'm making at least $150,000 a year.
Man, isn't that something that I have that,
You say United?
It's with Chase.
Chase, yeah.
But I
still you have the Sapphire card?
Yeah.
Yo.
But I haven't had a chance to utilize it because, you know, the last trip we went was to Vegas. For New Year's.
Okay, yes, yes.
And our flight was too early, so the lounge was
because it's 3 hours.
Yeah. So I didn't get to use it, and I haven't gone on any trips, so I got to plan something so I can get in there.
Yeah, definitely got to plan something. So I'll let you know what's up with Nashville, because, shit, we leave the kids with Papa and with Grandma and with Titi, and we all go. That's it. The hell with it. Yeah,
and that's
fun.
Another thing. I need to do a little bit more traveling within the states.
Yes.
It's always instinct to go out of the country and something tropical. So I want to switch it up.
I was looking at, and again, I'm not getting paid by them. My baby's friend from work mentioned Gate One Travel. And I looked into it, and they do U.S. tours. They do, like, Mount Rushmore.
Oh, wow.
They do the southern, you know, like Savannah, Georgia, St. Augustine, Florida, and then Charleston, South Carolina. So these are some places that, like, you could fly a short hop, and then they get on a bus, and they drive through, and then you take a plane back to where you're at. And that's what I'm looking at doing more, because, like you said, within the United States, there's a lot of things. And one of the things that, like, you know, like Charleston here, I did ghost tours. I did the Fort Sumter tour where the Civil War started and stuff like that. I went to the Slave Mart Museum where they actually sold slaves out of this building in Charleston. And the shout out Christine. I have her email and stuff like that. But she's an educator. And the thing I learned, and this is crazy. You know how you mortgage a house, right?
Mm-hmm.
They used to mortgage slaves back in the day.
That's insane.
That is crazy. And I didn't learn that. All throughout the school years and all this other stuff. And now you actually go to where it all started, in the sense of, you know, where it was, where, because Charleston, South Carolina was one of the last places to abolish slavery. You know what I'm saying? So you sit back and you look at it and you're like, wow, you're learning that they were like legit property. You know, they were mortgaged. It's just like, wow. And there's so much information. And there's so much in Charleston that you learn, and it's crazy. The thing that got me was that I was watching a YouTube video. They were talking about the hood of Charleston. And the hoods of Charleston is like about, I don't know, 6 miles up the road.
Up
the road. And it's crazy how they can delineate, you know, the Southern charm, fancy, rich Charleston, South Carolina from the hood. I mean, crazy. There must be an invisible line there that this says, if you cross into here, you're done. You know, so I sit back and I'm like, wow. And again, it's all financial.
Yeah.
It's always financial. So, but yeah, Charleston's good. Nashville's good. I do still want to go to Asheville to go see the Vanderbilt Museum. You know, and some of these smaller areas within the United States that, like you said, you know, that you don't think about. You think about, you know, Spain, Italy, you know, Monaco, Paris, and stuff like that. But you don't think about, you know, Charleston. You don't think about, you know, what's this place
even
in?
Even Memphis. Like, I didn't realize how much history
Elvis
was there. Yeah.
Since my baby left me.
The hotel that Martin Luther King died in.
Yeah. That's true.
Beale Street, you know, with.
I went to Dallas where they shot Kennedy.
Oh,
that's
another
thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
see, all those things you just don't think of until you decide.
I think one of the biggest things is, like, you know, you're a little bit of a history buff. I'm a lot more of a history buff. But I think that with social media and modern technology, the way it is nowadays, the kids get lost in that.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, it's nothing really big, nothing really important, because it to them, it makes no difference in life. You know, this is what I'm doing. This is what's going on. This is how I pay. This is how I send you money electronically. everything else, what happened in the past, doesn't matter. You know, so you sit back and you're like, oh, crap. You know, they need to wake up. They need to learn where we came from and stuff like that, you know. So I give an example. The other day, I was watching an Instagram, because I don't have TikTok, but I was watching an Instagram reel. And as we know, June, when June hits, it's not really Pride Month. It's Puerto Rican Power Month, you know. So every yeah. TikTok, every Instagram post is like, hey, Boricua Pase, you know, it's like, oh, yeah. You know, but they were talking about the song 100 by Big Pun and Tony Sunshine. Mm-hmm. And they broke it down to the extent of where they got the music. It was from this guy who used to do classical music in I think Argentina. And where they got this, it was from, you know, El Coqui. And where they got this song, it was originally the anthem for, you know, Puerto Rico before they got free from the Spaniard. And it's like, wow, you sit back. But, you know, everybody, all they care about is Cardi B and, oh, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, what the hell's going on here? You don't realize the history and how rich it is and how you are who you are and you became who you became because your parents came from this era and this thing that existed way before you. So I think that in life there's a lot that's lost there.
Yeah, I agree. And especially for parents, that's like the responsibility that we have to make sure that that doesn't get lost and to teach, you know, kids about the background, the history. Because you're right. When you think about everything that's on social media, it's a bunch of nonsense.
It's all lies.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I get caught up scrolling, you know, for an hour. And when I think about what I've been watching for the past hour, it's nonsense. So
yeah, I sit down, I scroll because I got to take a... Yeah, so once I get off from taking a... Then I'm like, damn, I wasted a whole hour and now my butt fell asleep because I was taking a... Yeah, so it's crazy. That's how it is. So,
yes.
So go ahead.
I was just going to say, saw a reel too that I thought was interesting where they were comparing the content that they show on TikTok for the United States versus China.
Yes.
And they were saying in China how they purposely show things that pertain to education, whether it's math, science, you know, showing people being leaders, things of that. And yet here we are, we show a girl twerking, you know, stupid pranks. And I do think that
they do it on purpose.
Uh-huh.
To keep us down. Yeah. And the stupidity and the mentality of the people here are like, oh, no, you know, that's not true. But it is true. Because if I give you an example, and I might get a little too political here. But back in the 60s, okay, when they were talking about radicalization of the United States, all right? Yeah, they had the Weather Underground where they used to bomb police stations. They used to bomb judges' homes and stuff like that. But they learned a different methodology. They learned that if they would get educated, they would go into the colleges, they would become professors. In that status, then they can teach the ideology that they wanted to teach. Instead of having to blow something up, now you can infect or influence thousands and thousands of kids, all right, who now become adults, and this is their mentality, and that's how you change a society. So TikTok with China is doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, I'm on TikTok. This guy just smashed my ass, and all of a sudden, you know, now he's ghosting me. You know, that's the most important thing. So everybody sees that. They're like, oh, my God, you know, instead of thinking, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to marry this woman because she's pure woman. She's great. I'm sure she would take care of my family. She'd take care of my kids. And then, you know, and everything's nice. No, they don't. They, like you said, there's two different standards when it comes to Chinese TikTok and when it comes to American TikTok. And I go one further. Vaping. Some countries vaping is illegal?
I didn't.
Yes, I Googled that, and I saw that some countries vape. I don't vape. I don't smoke. I never did. You know, I drink wine. I drink beer and stuff like that. But vaping is illegal in some countries and some Asian countries because of the fact they say that a habit like that causes the denigration of society, causes society to become, you know, denigrated and be less than what they actually worth and value. So though we're a free country in the United States of America and we're allowed to do, you know, the TikTok, the vaping, you know, the ecstasy, whatever the hell we do, at the end of the day, you sit back and you say, wow, is that really helping us out as a country or is that damaging us as a country? Because pretty soon, you know, there's a saying that says, strong men make good times. Good times make weak men. Weak men make bad times. Mm-hmm. All right. And that's what's going on now. Many of the men are out here. They're weak, you know, and we can't count on them. So to do anything, God forbid we needed them to really stand up. It's like, you know, the strong will survive. It's again, it's Darwinism or, you know, mm-hmm. or the survival of the fittest. And what happens then? You know, now we have these women who are strong, but at the end of the day, as strong as they are, their physical capability cannot match a man.
Yeah.
So we're going to hell in a handbasket.
And, you know, I read something that says that the reason why men aren't as strong is because of all the chemicals and things that they put in the food.
Testosterone.
So yep. Guys don't have the same level of testosterone exactly. that they used to back in the day. But even what you mentioned about social media and the content that you watch, that ties back into what we were talking about earlier about how people portray themselves and what they think that they offer because of what they see. If all you see is girls with, you know, who look a certain way, let's say big boobs, big butt, small waist, they're very pretty, they know how to dance. That's enough. If you look at social media, that makes it seem like that's enough for you to get any guy that you want. You don't right. have to know how to cook. You don't have to be a good person because everything is superficial. Same thing with guys, you know, there's just so much that people are exposed to. And when you feed your mind with enough of that, you're going to subconsciously retain it and start to do those things or start thinking in those same ways. So it's like inevitable, you know?
What I want GPP and the rest of you out there who are not part of GPP, who need to be part of the GPP, damn it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, seriously, what I'm talking about. Like the Hodge twins. Else. Yeah. But what I want you to also YouTube is Dubai Instagram models. Have you heard about that?
No.
The things that some of these Instagram models do in Dubai just to get those photos and to get the $30,000 to $50,000 in a weekend is disgusting.
Really?
From Dubai eating poop.
Aren't they pretty conservative? Like, I know you can't do a lot.
But there's an underground. There's an underground. Some of these models, excuse me, have eaten poop. Yes.
Ew.
You got to watch the Instagram. And what ended up happening was there was one IG model who actually, because they signed, excuse me, they signed DNRs. You know what a DNR is?
Yeah.
Sorry. My voice is going. They signed
people eating
poop and stuff like that. But they signed a disclosure. You know, do not, what the hell it stands for? Anyway, not do not resuscitate.
You're talking about NDA.
Non-disclosure,
agreement.
Yeah. I said, do not resuscitate. Okay. That's funny. It's not do not resuscitate, is non-disclosure agreement, yeah. So what ends up happening is that they sign this and they do these acts, but at the end of the weekend, they make like 50 grand. And they're allowed to take photos in the jet planes and stuff like that, and it's all fake. But YouTube, Dubai Instagram models, and you will be disgusted. And again, like you said, all we see is this, you know, this hot female who all the simps of guys are like, oh my God, if I took you out for one night, you'd love me, man. And it's bullshit. Mm-hmm. It's bullshit, you know. And then again, then you got the other side where people are like, oh, Andrew Tate is a misogynist. Well, shit, which one would you like? You like a guy who's strong, who's going to take care of his family and stuff like that? Or you got a guy who's going to simp and like all these, like there's even videos of guys who are simps who like send women PayPal money so that they can step on them in a Comic-Con. You haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, dude.
But I know that there's a lot of weird things out there.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, like even OnlyFans, mm-hmm. you know, like I've heard, you know, of people, you know, they even had a comedy, I think, with Ali Wong, who's mm-hmm. the Korean girl. She does that thing in Koreatown, a comedy, I think it's on, I forgot what channel. But anyway, she was like, oh, yeah, I could sell my feet for $9 million.
Hey, I'm not going to knock that because if I knew that I could be successful at that, I might give it a try. When I think about how.
Yeah, okay.
If I could snap a picture and make my salary, I'm all for it. I got
you. Yeah, definitely. I got you. So you won't be buying, you'd be driving a Phantom Wraith now instead of a Porsche.
And
yeah.
I can say my feet paid for
there
it.
There you go. That's it. That's it.
But holy crap. It's just one of those things. If you know that you have access to those resources where you could make money, I mean, do you choose the easy way or, you know, the hard way?
True.
If you know that you can make money selling content, versus working a 9-to-5 where you have to report to someone, deal with coworkers that you may or may not like. I mean, when you think about it, right? We go to work and we spend 8 hours minimum, okay?
Right.
With people that are outside of, you know, our family, our friends. So now we're at, 40 hours or more a week. This is who we spend the most of our, like, our time with. So I don't necessarily blame other people who want to choose different paths.
Career paths. You know, entrepreneurial.
But obviously there's some, you know, personal standards.
Yeah, I see that. Right. I'd have to wear socks.
Right. And, you know, having that, I think work ethic is important. So I think sometimes with doing that content stuff, it kind of takes away the work ethic from that. But
very true. Very true. So any final words?
No, I think it sounds like, you know, adulting is just figuring.
It's a pain in the ass. That's what it is. Yeah.
And when you think you have things figured out, you don't.
Not at all. Nope. I'm still trying to figure it out. But at least now, you know, being what they call the empty nest, I'm able to travel more, you know, because I don't have to.
Though?
It's awesome. It's awesome.
It's like I think to live life a completely different way now.
Imagine you could press a button and go, do I want to make $100,000 a year or do I want to be an empty nester? Shit. $40,000 a year, empty nester. Bing, 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 bing. You know what I'm saying? So, but $100,000.
I'm just getting started.
Yeah, no. Shit. I don't know how I could, like my sister, I think my nephew's 5 now. I'm like,
yeah.
So you're going to be 995.
Two.
Yeah. But nah, you'd be all right. You'd be all right. They're good kids. So, you know, if the kids are good and they train well, that's fine. These spoiled brat kids.
But it's the other kids. That's where,
that's
where it gets complicated.
But that's why when you got a strong home like you have, you know, you sit back and you go, hey, look, mommy, daddy, we're going to kick your ass if you play stupid games. You right. know, like we used to always say in New York in the police department, you play stupid games, win stupid prizes, you know, and tag your it. Yeah, that's it. So, well, hey, B, I appreciate you coming out today.
Thank you for having
definitely.
Me. It's always fun.
It is fun. So, and I don't mean to, you know, so much the bashing, but it needed to be said, women. Come on.
Well, hey, let's make it a fair game.
Like, yeah.
I'm the devil's advocate, right? So
you are.
Both women and men have some things to work on.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I got to work on my haircut. But other than that, I'm pretty good, you know? All right. Well, GPP, there you have it. B is in the house. Woo-hoo! I appreciate her coming out and everything like that. And again, you know, she said it. I've said it. JC said it. Everybody said it. You know, reach out to us. We don't use your name. You know, some names have been saved. Some names have been changed to protect the innocent and not so innocent. Enjoy the ride. And, you know, I'm going to let her go from now, but I'm going to give you a couple of updates on things that are going on. So once again, B, thanks a lot for coming
Thank
out today.
Again.
All right. We hear from you soon. All right. So GPP, let me just say, you know, I hope you're enjoying these segments that I have going on because, you know, Things are growing, things are progressing and stuff like that. So, you know, we're getting close to 1,000 followers and subscribers. I want you to make sure that, you know, you follow, you subscribe to the page, geospassion.com, GIOSPASSION.com. And with that, you'll be able to, you know, get notifications on what's going on. I want to get it to the point where we take over the airwaves and where I'm going city to city to meet all of you in person, shaking your hands, giving you hugs, giving you kisses. You would think it's a political rally, a political campaign, but all it is GPP, you know, taking over the airwaves, kicking butt. You know, I'm not Matt Rife. I don't look as good, but at the end of the day, you know what? Hey, we got each other. So, again, don't forget to, you know, to reach out to me, follow us on social media and everything like that. And, you know, I love you all and I want to make sure that everybody's taken care of well. So, again, GPP, you know, do what you got to do to make it happen. And, until the next time. All right. Love you. Peace. Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode of Geo's Passion and the Geo's Passion Posse. Shout out to you guys and gals. Don't forget to follow, subscribe to the podcast no matter what listening platform you're on. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, and many more. Don't forget to follow Geo's Passion on the social media scene with Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and my YouTube videos. I'm working on getting 2,000 subscribers and followers. I am almost there. So hook a brother up, all right? Let's build Gio's Passion and the Gio's Passion Posse together. I thank you all. And remember, like I always say, some names have been changed to protect the innocent and not so innocent. Enjoy the ride. I'm Jack. I'm your host. And I'm out. Peace. Woo! Let's go.